Want to see some wildlife? Well, I've got a few tips for you. First, you want to get a pair of these. Yeah, binoculars make wildlife watching much more fun. See that black speck cruising toward shore? Well, look at it through these.
Oh, wow! That's the fin of a killer whale.
Yeah, like I was saying. And see that reddish-brown stump in the beach grass?
Yeah, kinda.
So, take a look through the binoculars.
Hey, it's a deer, and it's eating something.
Uh-huh. That would be a Sitka black-tailed deer.
So what do these binoculars cost?
These are pretty good ones, but even a cheap pair will help. Expect to spend about $200 to $500 for quality binoculars like these. They provide a brighter, sharper image and a wider field of view. Larger binoculars also gather more light, which makes it easier to see wildlife at dawn and dusk, when the wildlife is more likely to be out. And a wider field of view makes it easier to find what you're looking for.
Do they come any smaller? These are kind of heavy.
You can get compact binoculars, but it's a trade-off. You'll be giving up some of the image quality in exchange for the convenience of being handy and light.
What was that?
Keep watching. Ripples and splashes on the surface of the water are clues to wildlife activity. Glass compsies like these are ideal for spotting marine mammals, birds, and fish. But even choppy water will reveal activity. Watch for anything that disrupts the pattern and texture of the water's surface, or for movement across the surface.
Like those dimples and rings?
Exactly. Those are probably fleeing fish, indicating larger fish are feeding below, driving their prey to the surface.
What about whales? How do I see those?
Look for the distinctive column of a whale spout. A white puff of spray hangs in the air for 10 to 20 seconds after the whale exhales. Or sometimes you'll see the dark back of a humpback whale surfacing. The dark color stands out against the water. Dolls porpoises create abrupt splashes and rooster tail spray that's apparent even in choppy water.
When is the best time to watch wildlife?
In the morning and evening. The water tends to be smoother, so it's easier to spot marine animals. This is also when most birds, fish, and wildlife are more active. It's also worth checking a tide chart. High tides concentrate resting shorebirds and allow salmon better access to some streams for spawning. Low tides expose intertidal food and draw a wide variety of animals into the open.
Hey, I see an eagle!
What's it doing?
It swooped down for a fish but missed it. Oh, here he comes again and got it! Uh-oh, now another eagle's chasing him.
Really watching wildlife behaviors is more interesting than just checking animals off my to-see list. Though I do that, too.
Brr, it's getting cold. It seems like it's always wet and breezy in Alaska.
Not always, but often.
Maybe we should go inside. We could still watch from the lounge or the cabin.
I like it here on the deck, where I can keep track of the animals as they move. Besides, the ocean air feels fresh.
Aren't you cold?
Not really. I'm wearing my raincoat and this hat. It fits snugly so it stays on in the wind. Don't you have a windbreaker you can put on?
That's a good idea.
Oh, I feel queasy.
Even on these calm waters? That's unusual. Few people get sick on the Inside Passage because the waters are so protected. Not like the rough seas sometimes found crossing the Gulf of Alaska or going down the Aleutian Chain. On those routes, passengers usually need to take an anti-nausea medication. What were you doing?
I was reading inside.
That'll do it. You'll feel better now that you're standing and outside in the fresh air. Just keep your eyes on the land and the horizon, not on the ship.
Did you see the eagle feeding on herring over there?
Cool. And those glaciers are astounding.
So how do you feel now?
Oh, I feel better, thanks. The conversation and scenery distracted me.
What were you reading inside?
A guidebook.
Alaska's Inside Passage Wildlife Viewing Guide. It looks useful. Where did you get it?
I borrowed a copy from the Forest Service interpreter. He said if I like it, I can buy a copy in the ship store or at a bookstore in the next town.
Guidebooks are great for wildlife watchers. I have several excellent field guides to marine mammals and birds to help me identify what I'm seeing, and a couple of reference books offering more in-depth information.
What about bears? I've heard they're all over Alaska and can be dangerous.
They can be, but usually aren't if you know how to behave. If you encounter a bear at close range, stand your ground, even if it approaches.
Oh, I'd be so afraid, I'd just run.
Don't do that. Running may encourage a bear to chase you. If a bear is close by but not approaching, back away slowly and give it space.
It's a whale!
Did you get a photo?
Nope, missed it.
Photographing whales from a boat is challenging, even for professional photographers. Both the vessel and the animals are in motion.
I wanted to take a photo like the one on the postcard in the gift shop, with a humpback reaching in front of all the mountains.
That may be unrealistic, but I can give you a few tips. Humpback whales usually surface several times between deeper dives, and it's possible to anticipate where a whale will surface and take a picture of the spout, back, and tail. So aim about there.
Oh, you're right. The whale came back.
Did you get the shot?
I got a picture, but it's pretty far off.
Since that's a digital camera, you can zoom in and enlarge the subject after the picture is taken, provided that the image is sharp. Hopefully you held the camera still.
Maybe I should shoot video. I could set the camera to movie mode. Then I wouldn't have to shoot the moment the whale surfaces, and I could capture how dynamic the whale is when it dives.
That's one way. Personally, I put down my camera and carry binoculars instead.